in prayer for Sister Tully's family. She got a sister that's just at the point of death out in Colorado, and I'm sure she would like to be out there with her at this time. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3. Going to church is a matter of trying to get better acquainted with God, to know God better. And it tells on us how much we know God and know about God. If we really knew him, it would be awful easy for us just to shout and praise him. But, of course, we don't know that kind of God in our society. We have a God that we dreamed up in our own mind, and we like that kind of God. But that's not the kind of God that exists. But then we get an idea of what we are. Only through knowing God do we get an idea about ourselves. And I'm Jean coming to church this morning. She said, I hope God shows up. I said, well, let's see here. We're two or three met together in my name. I'll be in. I said, you're one, I'm two. That's two. Are we going to go and meet in his name? Yeah.
Amen.
Maybe there'll be a few others too.
Yeah.
But Ephesians chapter 3, begin with verse 9. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Then he begins his prayer here. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Man, that goes right at the heart of things, doesn't it? Don't you feel like we need strength? All I see in society today is weakness. Weakness. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus through all ages, world without end. Amen. He's praying that there be glory here, glory in the church, filled with all the fullness of God. That's would be our text verse here in verse 19. To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with the fullness of God. That's a good subject, isn't it? That's a good thing to pray for our church, that we'd be filled with the fullness of God, not the fullness of the world, fullness of man. I thank God for the little old church I grew up in, the country church, that I got called, I got saved. I didn't get saved in the church house, but I got saved at home in the old farmhouse, that I got called to preach in. It wasn't my idea, this preaching business, I'll be honest with you. It wasn't my idea. I think I can kind of get in, tune with Jeremiah in Jeremiah 1:5. He said, the Lord said to Jeremiah, before I found thee in, formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. But what a privilege it is to serve God in any form. I mean, if we don't see that, we don't even know God. I mean, it's a privilege to be seated here today for the cause of Christ. And we need to take advantage of that. It's a privilege for me to stand here before you and preach the glorious gospel. I want to preach from that verse filled with all the fullness of God. You know, Peter in his epistle in the first letter, 1 Peter 2:9, said, but you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should do what? That you show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness unto his marvelous light. Man, I tell you, wouldn't that make a difference? If everybody who says they've been called out of darkness and lifted from the pit would have praise for God. That would have praise for God. What a difference that would make, and we're commanded to do it. And we live in disobedience when we don't. Instead of that, most people's excited about something that's temporary, is going to burn up. And then I thought of Titus, Paul writing to those people in chapter 2, verse 14, about the grace of God. One of my points is the fullness of his grace. And there's so many scriptures, everywhere you look, you find the word grace. We don't want to make a disgrace out of it. For the grace of God, he said in verse 14, that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. After we get saved, the grace is not done. Teaching us. It's through the grace of God that teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust that we should live sober. We are to be brokenhearted of how God's being treated in our day. And tell you the truth about it, we make sure we're not part of that crowd. We've got a choice to make. We need to come to the conclusion Joshua. After he considered all God did, how he loved us and sent his son and went to Calvary to save us and redeem us with his precious blood, we are to count it an honor to serve him. Not only that, but he put us here in America, and America has been good up to the last few years. God can't bless America. We can pray God bless them. Hey, the judgment of God is flooding America. You know what it is? He just backs off. Let people do their thing. Let people think like people think. Let people have no fear of God. And the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, but you get a politician don't have no fear of God, they don't have no wisdom. Amen. And we need wisdom today. And he went on to say, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. There it is again. Hey, let me say this. Since I'm old and I can get by with saying what I want to say, if I don't make no difference. If you want the church to be anything other than to be pure, you're wanting the wrong thing. Your gold is the wrong thing, because that's what God wants. Even though it's not proper today, People don't want a holy God. They don't want a holy church as a whole in our society. But that's what God wants. And we better take note of that. Every few years, comes down the line some book somebody wrote about how a church can have a super church. Gold, the Osteen type. Pitiful. Pitiful. Never mentioned sin, never mentioned the consequence of sin, never mentioned what happens to a person who don't get saved. They're going to spend eternity in a devil's hell, never warning. You say, preacher, you oughtn't to mention names. I wouldn't do that if I was up there. That's probably why you're not up here.
Yeah, amen, brother.
Hey, and I don't mention names very often. And it's not that I know it all. In Isaiah chapter 8, verse 19, and when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits. And that's a small s. There's a lot of spirits floating around. And unto wizards that peep, all that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God? And that's a big capital G, the real God, for the living to the dead. Should not a people, isn't this the day to seek God? Isn't this the day to get to know God, really get to know the true God, making sure that it's the true God that we are serving, not a God. Hey, I'm not going to go, and I'm not wanting to read after somebody who's spiritually dead, and you can tell when you start reading. Oh, they read some things that sounds good to the old nature. A lot of the religions floating around. The old nature kind of picks up on it right away, but there is a true nature that don't pick it up. It picks it up as being wrong. There's a lack of the knowledge of God, the sovereignty of God, the superiority of God, the supremacy. And there's a lack of knowledge about the wrath of God that's going to be poured out and is being poured out, and lack of knowledge about the glory of God. Some people say that, you know, they complain about God in the Old Testament. You know, how he'd say, go in, destroy whole nations. Thing about it is, sin in the flood because of the wickedness of man. And it repented God that he even made man. So he sent the flood to destroy. And I've heard people say, that's not the kind of God that I serve. I wonder what kind of God they serve. If we were smart as God, we'd know we'd do that. We'd do the same thing he did. I don't understand it all. I don't have to. I could never love a God like that. Why do they say that? Because they have a God they've made with their own mind, and they love what they've made. Yes. Jeremiah in chapter 9, verse 23 said, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth, glorieth in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Should we not be seeking our God? Should we not be wanting to consecrate ourselves to him? The Bible says, in all thy ways, acknowledge him. That comes first. And he shall direct thy paths. Proverbs 3:6. What's the problem? What's the problem in our day? There's a lack of knowledge of God. Now, somebody may be thinking, preacher, you're gonna preach on the attributes of God. No, not this morning. But to know him, that's what everything's about. Man, there's a lot of other things you don't have to know. But you got to know him. I mean to know him. Know the God of this Bible. Make sure you know him. Not just know a little about him, but know him. Jesus' priestly prayer in John chapter 17, verse 8, I believe it is, or verse 3. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Eternal life. Not speaking of length. Eternity, I get lost when I think about eternity. But to tell you the truth about it, every person alive since Adam has an eternity to them. They're going to live forever someplace. But there's a way a lot different between eternal death and eternal life. That's what the gospel's all about, and that's what we get excited about. That's what we sing about it. Hey, and to tell you the truth about it, the more we know about it, is the more excited we get. And that's why in heaven, when I get to heaven, I'm not looking forward to swinging on the gates of pearls or even walking down the streets of gold. That'll be all right, but that's not the main thing. I'm going to spend eternity knowing the true God. It'll take an eternity to know the bigness of God and to get around that mountain. We need to begin now. Find out all we can about him. The problem is the lack of knowledge of God. We're not here to worship any other God besides him. I said, the fullness of God. Get full of God. Not kick him out. Get full of God in your home. Don't kick him out. Get full of God in your life. Don't kick him out. Get full of God in the education like it used to be. About all the major university was started with God. But he's being kicked out. That's what our problem is. I've met people through the years who had fullness of God. It's a great feeling to know the Lord has filled you with his fullness. Isn't it? To be full of God. It won't hurt you to get full of God. It won't hurt you to get full of his Spirit, Baptist either. That's why Paul in the next chapter or two said in chapter 5, verse 18, I believe, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Yeah. Speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, make melody in your heart to the Lord. That's it's going to be glory in the church when that happens, and it won't be no glory in the church until that happens, that we get the fullness of God, that we worship him in spirit and in truth, because we'll have the Holy Spirit's help to see the glory of God. Until then, we don't see him. We sit and sleep in church almost. What used to make the old timers shout in the aisles puts us to sleep these days. Hey, could I remind you again, it's not bad being saved. It's not bad. Hey, we sung it. It's wonderful to be a Christian. Did we sing that or I'm just dreaming? It's wonderful to be God's child. It's wonderful to have your sins forgiven. It's wonderful to be reconciled forever. Justified. And going to one day be glorified. We're headed for glory. And brother, if you don't like it now, you definitely won't like it then. If you're so caught up with this world that you're one of the problems, it's not the cure. A lot of people have a lot of different ideas what the fullness of God is all about. They do crazy things and say crazy things about on TV. We got they talk in a language they don't even know themselves. Nobody else knows. And think they're glorifying God. But let me say here, but this passage of Scripture, the Lord tells us exactly what He means when He talks about the fullness of God. I believe I know what the fullness of God is. I'm not as full as God as I want to be and ought to be. But I'll tell you what, I think I know what it means to be full of God, full of His love, full of His faith, without any doubt that God is God. He's a rewarder of them that seeks Him, because I've sought Him and He's rewarded me. I'm talking about knowing God. It's a lot more than some gibberish language. It's speaking with a clean heart and a clear and clean mind and telling people Christ will save them if they'll call upon Him, and telling Christians if you'll live like He wants you to live, it'll work out all right. And then the fullness of God's love. And to know the love of God which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Verse 19. Nothing can compare. Nothing can compare. Not all the money in this world can compare to have the fullness of His love in your own heart and in your family's heart and in the church you go to's hearts. Nothing. Nothing is wonderful, and without that, nothing else really matters. The greatest thing in the world is God's love that's shed abroad in hearts. I thank God that He loves me. And His love helped me in a lot of ways. The older you get, the more you appreciate those things. I appreciate His love in children that will help take care of their parents. That'll bring dinner to them and on Sunday morning. I won't have to eat bologna. And listen, you might say, that's why you're full of baloney. Well, sometimes people may not treat me right, but it don't happen very often, I don't think, and I don't worry about it. It's all right. People didn't treat Jesus right all the time, did he? Who'd I think I am that they didn't treat Jesus right, but they ought to treat me right? Amen. Huh? Yeah. Good grief. We need to wake up. Doesn't bother me that much. The Bible says if a man says, I love God and hateth his brother, he's a liar. 1 John 4:20, for he that loveth not the brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God in whom he's not seen?
Right.
Nothing inspires a person more than love. I'm not talking about lust. I'm talking about true love.
Yes.
I preached on that last Sunday, didn't I? Without it, nothing matters. Nothing matters. Even though we can give our bodies to be burnt, and although we can give what we have to help the poor, and though we could prophesy and preach, it's sounding brass and tinkling cymbal without the love of God. What we need to do is pray that God would, with all of our heart, beg him to fill our hearts with the fullness of his love. Then I think about the fullness of his power. May be able to comprehend with the saints, verse 18, what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of God which passes knowledge, and you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Is there anything too hard for God? Is there? God can do what he wants to do. Some old preacher told me years ago, he can make day before yesterday tomorrow if he wants to. He's not. We don't need only to be filled with all the fullness of God's love. We need also to be filled with the fullness of his power. I don't claim to be a powerful preacher, but I do claim that throughout my ministry I've wept and prayed for the power of God. And I still haven't got all the power of God I want. I'd like to, when I preach his precious word, that the Holy Spirit would get a hold of hearts and bring conviction, first of all, to my own heart, to the extent that we'd all be thoroughly convinced that he's God, there's none other, and we want him, and we want his fullness in our life, the fullness of his love, the fullness of his power, the fullness of his grace. Power in the ministry don't come from programs, mechanics. I like what the old prophet Jacob did when the angel came down. They had a wrestling match. They wrestled. It wasn't a fake one now. It was a real wrestling match. In Genesis 32, the angel said, let me go after a while. I've got to go back to heaven. I can't keep wrestling all night. And Jacob said, I won't let you go until you bless me. Let me say this. When we get a hold of the altar of God, on the altar of God, and say, God, God, I'm not going to let you go. You got to bless me. I need your blessings. I don't need the blessings of the world or what people think, but I need your blessings. When we get to that place, we'll probably get them. We've got to get it in our hearts that we will not let God go until he gives us his power. If we're going to see him move on hearts, first of all, he's going to have to move on our own hearts.
Yeah.
Our hearts have got to be touched and overflowed. Then God's got to move. God's got to bring conviction. And he's able to do it, and he will do it. I'm talking to all of us this morning. I'm talking to myself. I'm talking to Sunday school teachers and choir members and bus workers and church members. All need power of God. Without his power, it'll just be sounding brass. We can go through the little formalities of it. But when his power comes, things happen in people's lives and in their minds. You get, hey, the Word of God, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has the mind of God, and he puts it then into our minds. We begin to think like God and think like Christ. And we make judgmentals like that because we have the power of God in us. We're going to see God move. I've never in these 56 years felt the need of the power of God any more than now. Oh God, fill me with your power. Equip me with your to do your work. I need your power. You shall receive power, he says, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You should be witnesses to me. It is power. You got loved ones and you got family members. What's the need? They need some power of God working in their lives. Oh, we can scold them and we can give them our theology all we want to, but until the power of God comes upon them and they begin to understand more about God and more about his salvation and more about eternity, and more about the shortness of time. People die everywhere. Life is like a vapor that appeareth for a season and it's gone here. You know, fullness of his grace, Ephesians Chapter 3, verses 2. If you heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given unto me to your word. Then in verse 7, he also said in chapter 3 of Ephesians, whereof I was made a minister according to the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Then he goes on, verse 8, unto me who less than the least of all the saints is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. It takes a lot of grace. I'm here to tell you it takes a lot of grace in this world of sin. And I know what it says, where sin abounds, the grace of God doth much more abound in Romans 5 and 6 there. Boy, it takes the grace of God. Thank God for his grace. Marvelous grace. Unmerited favor of God toward us. Unconditional love of God. I'm here to tell you, we need to realize, Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. He said one place as he wrote, I think to the Corinthians, I didn't receive the grace of God in vain. God has not wasted his grace on me. Has he wasted it on you? Do you know what the fullness of his grace is all about? Fullness of his grace. I need that. I need fullness of his grace. I'm Genevieve. 60 years of marriage, we decided we're just going to go on. Been saved by grace and kept by grace. And one of my favorite songs is Amazing Grace. And Amazing grace shall always be my song of praise. For it was grace that bought my liberty. I do not know just why he came to love me so. But he looked beyond my fault and all my weaknesses and took this little old boy, barefooted boy, on the farm and spoke to his heart when he was young and let me know that he's worth serving. I've not wasted anything that by serving him. All that I have is just what I did serving him. Philippians 4:7 said, and the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus. The fullness of his peace, and I'm going to, you know what the peace of God is? In a troubled world.
Yes.
Hey, we live in a very dangerous world. With all the power that's being transferred to these small countries, the wicked people that want to do away with Israel and want to do away with us, at the push of the button,
that's right,
our lives could be changed. We leave out here. I guarantee you that's true. I'm not going to bed worrying about that. Old John Rice, they used to threaten him when he preached hard. He said, don't threaten me with heaven. Man, one old boy put a pistol in toward him and said, don't threaten me with heaven. If God wants me to go that way and he allows it, it's fine. Colossians 3:15 says, and let the peace of God make rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body, and be you thankful. I meet a lot of people who don't seem to have peace. I get a lot, several phone calls. I got one yesterday. I just in the office a little while before I left out. An arm after you came by. This fellow just got out of the hospital in bad shape at 50 years old. Can't hardly breathe. He need a little help getting a prescription. He come by. I gave him a track and helped him out a little bit. Got to witness to him. I said, do you know Jesus as your Savior? I said, buddy, the way you look, if you're not long for this life. I mean, he was gasping for breath. I hope he does. I hope he has a peace of God that passes understanding. I hope he has that peace that Jesus that I give unto you, not like the world gives. Let not your hearts be troubled or afraid. I'm talking about the fullness. I'm talking about having the mind of Christ. If we let God have our minds, then we'll have peace. Thank God that when my mind's on the Lord, he will give you the fullness of his power. And the fullness of his joy with all this. Even in our day, the world don't give you joy. The world gives you very little happiness, and it's very temporal.
Yeah.
But true joy comes from the Lord. And joy, somebody said, you know what joy is? Joy is saying, amen, preacher. So be it.
Yeah.
Amen, singers, when you sing in the Spirit, singing the Lord, and sing about him. Amen. If you don't say it with your mouth, you say it with your heart. So be it.
Yeah.
I'm with you. Somebody said joy is somebody with praise going to a camp meeting. I don't know. The joy of the Lord. Years ago, I heard the story of a little boy who was having some fun, just laughing, having fun. Back in those days, you had to sit and listen to the adults, even if what they was talking about was boring, and you couldn't say nothing. Anybody remember those days? You'd be quiet. If you was getting to laughing about something, you'd be quiet. Well, that's what happened to him. He was laughing about something, and they said, sit down there and be quiet. And he slipped out, went outside, and feelings hurt. He saw an old mule across the fence, long-eared, flop-eared mule, and he looked so sad. He looked into his eyes, and he said to the old mule, "You must have religion, too." The fullness of joy. Feeling his hearts in your life, and when you're fully surrendered to him, he won't shortchange you. Hey, let me say this. The Pharisees and the Sadducees didn't have it. Just because you got some good standards in your life, and we need to have. We need to look different than the world and talk different than the world, and let our light so shine before men they can see our good works and glorify our Father. But if that's all we got, the Pharisees had that. Yes. Prayed on the street corner, but they didn't have any joy. Right. And to tell you the truth about it, they didn't have any joy because they weren't saved. Right. When you get saved, you get joy. Because you get the fruits of the Spirit, and one of them is joy. Amen. I'm talking about the fullness of God. Fullness of God. God don't want us to be empty. He wants us to be full. Full of good things. Think on good things, he said. Things that's honest and true and for good report. Think on the Word of God. Yes. Whether you're down in the dumps, you're depressed, get into the Word of God and start get your mind. The devil's after your mind. I guarantee you, if you got Parkinson's, you need to do that. She goes through a little valleys, but they're pretty short. Man, she's climbing the next hill. Because she gets into the Word. She gets thinking right. I'll be honest with you. If you're sad and you're lost, you have a right to be sad. Brother, if you feel down and you don't know for sure you're saved, you have a right to. But I tell you what, if you know the Lord is your Savior and you have the record straight, this is a record that God's given to us, eternal life, and this life is in God's Son, Jesus, and he that hath the Son hath life, and he that don't have the Son of God hath not life. These things have been written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Brother, you're on shouting ground. Praise God that we can know. Amen. And the altar's open this morning. And God is approachable. We can come to boldness with him. That's how. When I get really thirsty after him, I know I'm going to get filled. Because he said, "I'll pour water out upon him that's thirsty and floods on the dry ground." Let's bow our heads.